and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
I knew full well what Jesus had to say about possessions and money and being generous to the poor, and life is not found in the abundance of possessions, and sell your things and give to the poor. Come follow me, you'll have treasures in heaven.
Joshua Becker on Focus on the Family Minute.
And for some reason, I used to read all of those instructions. And for some reason, my thought was, man, Jesus really wants me to live a miserable life today. Until we started actually living that out and we got rid of 60 to 70% of our possessions. And when we did, I discovered, lo and behold, that Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about, that life is better, it's freer, we have more energy and focus, we can find more fulfillment and meaning. And wouldn't you know, just like everything else, Jesus knew the best way for us to live.
Hear more at familyminute.org.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. It was a splendid and unexpected reunion in a grocery store on 7th Avenue in New York. Reunion of two boyhood friends, Wally and Bud. They'd always been an odd couple, Wally studious and frail. Bud was athletic and daring, and yet, as children back in Evanston, Illinois, they'd been inseparable. Early on, Wally was the chronic victim of grammar school bullies. He was not afraid to put up his dukes, but he didn't use them very effectively and invariably wound up face down on the playground. But after a while, word got around that it was not wise to mess with Wally because he had a big, strong, loyal friend named Bud who was eager to stand up for him and who frequently did. Wally and Bud. One time a classmate said something unflattering about little Wally, and Bud took the offender into a coal shed to work him over. And when the boys emerged, they were jet black from head to foot, but Bud, as usual, was triumphant. Eventually, both families moved away, and Bud and Wally said goodbye for what they believed was the last time. But the rest of the story is that more than 10 years later, they met again. It was a chance encounter in New York City where both had relocated, a surprise reunion in a 7th Avenue grocery store. They recognized each other instantly. Both now in their 20s were overjoyed. In fact, Bud was so glad to see little Wally that he plopped him into an empty shopping cart and dashed away, pushing Wally out of the grocery store front door and down the crowded Manhattan sidewalk. When the two had settled down, Bud said, "Let's stick together this time." And this time they would do just that. Both were much interested in science. They would spend long evenings reading Scientific American from cover to cover and then discussing what they'd read. They talked about everything else as well, about the life and death and marriage and careers, all of the things that mattered most. And of course, just as when both had been boys, Bud continued to stick up for Wally should anybody pick on him. And thus did their relationship continue to grow, and it grew closer. Until a terrible day many years later when Wally died. Ask anyone who knew them when. Theirs was that rare, one-of-a-kind friendship that comes along just once in a lifetime, and then only if you're lucky. In fact, it was often said of Bud that he would never give as much of himself ever again to anyone as he gave to Wally. The latter's lonesome death of heart failure precipitated by drugs and drink will long be remembered in the entertainment industry. The former's life was tormented and tangled and confused, and today it's sometimes cited as an example of the wages of self-preoccupation and self-indulgence. You'll hear people say that he asked for all of the confusion which surrounded the last years of his life and precipitated his overindulgence. But once upon a happier time, there was a scrawny bookworm boy and his best buddy, whose nickname was Bud, and their mutual loyalty is what friends like best to recall. The frail lad was actor Wally Cox. His lifelong friend was Marlon Brando. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
And we're back with Kenny Enney and Darcia Stebbins. Kenny back from his vacation and me back from going solo for a couple weeks and enjoyed every minute of it. But I love having my co-host back here in studio so we can go back and forth about different things.
I just have one question. How often did you bring up the Article 4, Section 4 while I was gone?
I think only once or twice. But where we are today, I think people are realizing that what is happening internationally is that actually does impact what we're doing locally. That there's a mindset, a philosophy, that there's an agenda, if you will, and those things are breaking down when we are cutting off the money supply. All of a sudden, things are being exposed. And we have a caller. We'll go right to the lines. And welcome
hey,
to
Kenny.
Open Mic Friday.
Kenny, you are missed. By you. All of us. Except the school board.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was told that they're actually going to try to censure me for some reason. So I got to ask. I may ask that Thursday night.
Guess who was the last person they censured? Chris Bausch. Yeah. And you know what happened there?
Congratulations.
It would be a badge of honor. I may actually make the motion myself.
Badge of courage, really. Yeah. So, they were thinking of censuring Chris Bausch on the city council until the fiasco of the paid parking blew up in their face. Then they didn't dare. But anyway, they still don't want to consider that the pervert going into the woman's locker room is committing indecent exposure, do they?
No, they do not. And there was one other piece of info I had about the sort of the good news while I was gone. You had a group that was called Advocates for Faith and Freedom, and they were supporting one of the lawsuits out of Riverside County for two girls that are suing. And one of the things that they're suing over is exactly that it's an intentional infliction of emotional distress and failure to provide protection. And a federal judge stepped in. The case was dismissed in February, but a federal judge just stepped in yesterday and said, nope, based off of the merits of the case, it can go forward. It looks like, because he thinks whatever the saying is, you know, it's likely to have merit, I think is the term.
So the appeal overruled, huh?
Yep. So
sanity prevails.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the cases, I think, that if the Supreme Court does not side with common sense in June with the West Virginia and Idaho case, that's one of the cases I think will go forward. All right. Thank you, sir. We got another caller. Go ahead. You're on the air.
I wonder if you guys could tell this ignorant person, what do you mean when you say the 218 vote? Everybody uses the 218. I heard it at the Tea Party. Like, everybody's supposed to understand what that means.
That's an excellent question. I had to ask that myself.
So 218 refers to Proposition 218. Goes back, it's kind of based on Proposition 13. So most people now, if you are homeowners, you're familiar with Prop 13 because that limits the amount of tax that can be increased to 2% a year. And it also sets the percentage that the people have to agree by at least 66 2/3% vote that if the taxes, if your taxes are going to be increased, it has to be for a very, you know, overwhelmingly approved reason. And so Proposition 218 came out of that because there were organizations who were saying, well, we're not really, it's not really a tax. There were governments that were, or even groups claiming authority, like we have with the Paso Robles Area Groundwater Authority, claiming authority, saying we want to propose a fee. So they were calling it a fee instead of a tax, so that they wouldn't have to go out to a tax of the people. So Proposition 218 came out of that. I think it was in the 90s. Proposition 13 was back to 1978. It was a citizen-driven proposition and had thousands, hundreds of thousands of signatures. That's how it got passed. So people wanted to know if they were going to be have an increase in their tax, and there had to be overwhelming support for that tax. It had to be a really good thing. Everyone says, yes, we do need a tax because we really want this thing. Proposition 218 said you have to have, if it's disguised as a fee, but it's really a tax, but it's disguised as a fee, then you have to have some kind of rate study so that you, so people understand what they're actually paying for. So when we talk about 218, it is about Proposition 218, that there have to be certain things in place, that if something's going to be called a fee, that there are seven exceptions to the tax provision. So these seven exceptions basically is a way to say you have to have one of these exceptions, otherwise it's a tax and it has to go out to the people. So with the groundwater authority here in the Paso Robles water basin, they tried to use last year Proposition 218, where people can protest. If they receive back a protest letter, the people send in a protest letter saying, we do not consent to this tax. It's a tax. We don't consent to this. And so the Proposition 218 gave the people a way to not have a tax placed on them. And the Proposition 218 vote is a 50% plus one. So if you can get 50% of the people plus one to oppose the increase in the tax, then the people win. So that's what happened last year. And now this board, with having to do with the Groundwater Authority, is trying to use Proposition 26. And that's where it talks about a fee instead of a tax. And then you have these seven exceptions. And the exceptions are basically you have to have a rate study. You have to have a basis for charging people. And by the way, it's only for essentially administrative costs. It's not actually any projects that would actually solve the problem over the groundwater basin if there is a problem. It's only for these administrative costs, like $1.1 million is what this board is proposing to, quote, keep the lights on for a year. And it's attorneys, administrators, insurance, it's consultants. They're paying out literally $1.1 million to hold monthly meetings, and they are not able to actually work on any projects like stormwater capture or the monitoring, etc. So the 218, when you hear that, just know that that was, we were able, as we the people, were able to protest. And with that protest, we were no longer having to have a tax on our property tax bill. But they are moving forward with Proposition 26 to not call it a tax, to call it a fee. Does that help?
No.
I was about to say, repeat
it
back. It
was a long-winded explanation, but basically 218 is a way for the people to protest. And it was successfully protested.
There is a test later on.
But essentially, it comes down to the Prop 13 spinoffs from Proposition 13, where there were limitations on government and the government overreach. So we were successful with the group that said we do not want to have an increase in tax to try to monitor or manage the basin?
So it hasn't have anything to do with lowering the threshold for voting?
It does in a way, because Proposition 13 said that you have to have 66 and two-thirds. With Proposition 218, you only had to have a protest of 50% plus one.
To do what?
To stop increase it. Tax. Yeah. So if you have 50% plus one of the people sending in their letter saying, I don't want to be charged more.
Well, wait a minute. We're talking about voting or protesting? I mean, you're talking about sending in letters. That's not a vote.
Correct. Correct. Proposition 218 is not on the ballot. If you go with something that is a tax, you actually have to go on the ballot, and you have to have an approval of 66 and two-thirds. So what they've done over the years is things like school bonds. They've said this is a special tax, and we only have to have 55% to be able to pass a school bond. But things where there's a rate where you pay utilities is often where it is. So the city of Paso Robles will have you pay for your water in the city of Paso Robles. If that rate is going to be increased, then they have to send out a letter to everybody who is a rate payer saying, hey, we're going to be increasing the rate. And if 50% plus one send in a letter, not on a ballot, send in a letter saying, I oppose the increase of the rate, then it means that the rate can't increase. So it has to be proportional. It has to be based on the benefit received.
I think you put him to sleep and he dropped the phone. Sorry about that.
It's really long. I mean, the long and short of it is you have a group of people who want to control the water basin in this case, or a group of people that want to increase your tax. So all of the districts, all of the government authorities are they don't have any money because they've overspent, essentially. And so they're looking for new, quote, funding sources. So when you're sitting in a Board of Supervisors meeting and they're doing the budgets, or you're sitting in a school board meeting or a city council meeting and they're working on budgets and they look around and they go, yeah, we're looking for new funding sources, you are the funding source. Yeah.
My solution is still, I think you could replace a significant portion of the bureaucracy in California with ChatGPT, and we would get tax money back. So, but well, all right, so summarize, the Prop 218 vote last summer failed, and that was the negative. You had to send in the negative response. Now, I didn't get that letter because I didn't have any history of irrigation on my ranch, so I didn't get to vote. Now, this new one, though, Prop 26, it's not going to go out to the people. It's being decided by the bureaucrats on that board. And what are the options for opposing that, or are there?
There's really not a lot of option except exposing that this is government overreach. You know, it's government under the color of law.
And they serve at the pleasure of whom? The county supervisors?
Well, they're saying that if we don't, quote, manage the basin, if we don't pay this $1.1 million to consultants, that none of them live over the basin. It's not like, you know, I mean, we have very knowledgeable people over the Paso Robles groundwater basin
that can actually solve these problems. This is to maintain the group that Gibson's part of?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It seems to be wherever there's government overreach and more money and, I'll say, fraud, waste, and abuse, look to the group or organization that's trying to control something.
So I'm shifting gears a little bit. So this guy D'Antona that the Cattlemen's Association just yanked their
endorsement,
that was Bruce Gibson's hand-picked replacement?
Yes. In fact, there's kind of the backstory. So Jim D'Antona came in from LA area. I'm not sure if it was Orange County, but came in from the LA area and has been the president of the SLO County Chamber of Commerce for the last several years. Then he decided he was going to run, Bruce Gibson decided he was not going to run for another office. Such a shame. And so Jim D'Antona says, I'm going to run for the District 2 supervisor. It's basically the northern part of the city of San Luis Obispo, all the way up the coast, Cayucas, Cambria, coastal cities, Morro Bay, etc. So that's District 2. And Bruce Gibson said, no, I'm not going to run for District 2. So Jim D'Antona stepped up. What the issue was with the cattlemen's group is apparently two of the members of the board had said, we want to endorse Jim D'Antona. And so they, as a group, endorsed him. Then there were videos that came out after the sheriff did the presentation and had to do with the protests that occurred down at the jail. And basically the protesters were saying that the sheriff was cooperating with ICE, and it was pretty vulgar, and it was pretty out, you know, definitely not supporting law enforcement. And the cattlemen's group said, hey, wait a minute, you did not follow the procedures. There were only two of us that said that we wanted to endorse Jim D'Antona, and so therefore procedures were not followed, and we are not okay with this at all. And they yanked his endorsement. I can appreciate that.
That seems to be a problem in California, is nobody seems to follow procedures. Being a Marine, I was big on, you know, procedures.
Well, as a matter of fact, when you have that SOP, when you have a standard operating procedure, when it's written, it's written.
Same in the school district. You know, the policies that the board writes are really viewed as, in my opinion, viewed as recommendations by staff and faculty. Nah, they didn't really mean that.
Guidelines.
We can fudge that.
Well, one thing I do want to give credence to, Chuck Norris has passed. And I have a couple quotes, so call in with your best quote. We have a call coming in. You could call back after the break. That would be great. Kenny Enney, Darcia Stebbins, Open Mic Friday, and it is an open mic.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages fell for the day and for a fourth straight week as oil prices continue to tick higher and as the Middle East conflict is showing no signs of winding down. West Texas Intermediate crude, the U.S. benchmark, advanced and rose to over $98 a barrel, while Brent crude, the global benchmark, rose to around $112 a barrel. Most all of the 11 S&P 500 sectors were in the red except for energy and financials, while tech was the worst performer. Shares of all the magnificent seven big cap tech stocks ending lower for a third straight session, and also for the week, gold slipping and falling to nearly $4,500 a troy ounce. The Dow winners, Chevron, Visa, and Verizon. The Dow decliners, Caterpillar, Boeing, and Honeywell. The Dow lower by 444 points. The Nasdaq lower by 443. S&P 500 down 100. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I am Central Coast Attorney Dave Derringer, and I believe in faith, family, and freedom. Without faith and family, there is no freedom. So the mission of my law firm, Protective Law Corporation in Morro Bay, is to help families grow family power by transmitting life, fortune, and honor to descendants.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all trusts are not created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain alienable rights, that among these are powers to defer, avoid, or shift taxation, to shelter assets from creditors, that to secure these rights, trusts are created by me.
If you are serious about asset protection and family protection, call me, Dave Duringer of Protective Law Corp in Morro Bay. Dial 805-225-5105. Or just click on my phone number at lawnews.tv. Again, lawnews.tv, LAWNEWS.TV.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
I had to shut Darsha up. I turned the mic up right when she was about to say something that she didn't want anybody else to hear.
I withheld. I do have some restraint. So as we come back from the break, Kenny Enny, Darsha Stebbins, Open Mic Friday, and we do have a call that hopefully was able to stay over the break. We'll see. It looks like you're still on the air.
I am.
Excellent.
I'm still here listening, as I do every day.
Thank you for your patience.
Could you do a five-second explanation of Proposition 218, Proposition 26, and Prop 13?
Sure, but I can't do it in 5 seconds. But you've had all three of those before you right here in Paso Robles or Slo County. All of those have been exercised here. Now, not Prop 26, because it's kind of new. But the bottom line here is, there are, just like we said 12 years ago, 13 years ago, people are trying to control your water. They're trying to steal your water. People refuse to bring that to the forefront. I'm not that person. It is to the forefront. And the people involved are the same people who you are going out and having wine tasting with, or going to a function with, or having over for dinner. They're trying to steal your water. I don't care what anybody tells you. That is the bottom line. They want to control the water, not the least of which there's a lot of members who have large vineyards that are involved. They want to maintain their irrigation. I don't blame them for that. But nobody's going to steal their irrigation. I grew up here. There's lots of water here. It's pocket water. You can drill a well 10 feet from another one and get a different water. You can have sulfur water in one and good water in another. How do I know this? I got one of those on my property where there's two wells 10 feet apart. So, and they're different water.
So how...
bottom line is that the original vote, that they needed a two-thirds vote acceptance, they were rejected by two-thirds on whether people in this region want to be taxed in any way for their very own water. Some 750 to 850 people decided we'll file quiet title. And we'll get quiet title on our property. And what does that do? You now have 800 water districts, each one of them individually owned. That's what it does. That's what they don't want. And you can see why. Because if they came to you and said, we'd like to have about half of your water, is that okay? No, it isn't. They wanted to vote it in so that you had no choice. The rebuttal to that, to the next attempt to get this done, was a 218 vote in protest of what they were just going to perpetrate upon each of the individual wells and people who choose to live in the rural area. So they had a 218 vote. They lost. Again.
Overwhelmingly.
Overwhelmingly, both times. People here do not want somebody, not even the county, maybe even especially the county, controlling their water. And I'll tell you, the biggest perpetrator of abuse of the water table, or the basin as it's called, is the city of Paso Robles. I'll give you an example, and only one. There are several. 502 new homes, no improvement to the treatment plant that's supposed to make Nacimiento water potable. You see, somebody forgot that you can't use water where there's body contact or swimming or water skiing, which we have in Nacimiento. You cannot use that water as potable water. You have to treat it. Rightfully so. But the treatment plant only can treat a small portion of the water that they're getting from Nacimiento Pipeline. In other words, they're allowing water to go straight to the ocean, take it up from the ground, and deliver it to the ocean eventually. That doesn't make any sense to me. Does it to you? No, of course not. When we need water here, and plenty of water for grapes, we need that too, because it is an industry, we have it. But these people don't want to go about what it takes to save it because they want to control it. That's the argument. The argument is between homeowners who live in the rural area and people who are trying to steal their water and control it. In other words, charge you for your own water. That's what we've been faced with right along. If it doesn't say that initially, it will before it's finished. You can count on it.
And I think one of the most egregious things is that they're using this cost rate study that is totally inflated costs. I mean, what's happening at the monthly board meetings? Nothing. They're basically just working overtime to try to figure out how they can place a fee on your property tax bill.
That's what they're trying to accomplish and nothing else. They're not interested. We passed a proposition in this state to build stormwater capture. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Catch rain and allow it to sink into the to the ground or the water table rather than flow to the ocean. So we decided we want that, and we voted it in. Stormwater capture makes all the sense on the planet, period. You can't argue against stormwater capture. And so we have this bill. It's been passed. It's been years. How many stormwater capture projects have we done? Zero. None. At the same time, we're building a train to nowhere. The people want stormwater capture, and it's not happening. Of course, that's another subject would be to light me off on the governor, I suppose.
Well,
that would be,
you know,
simple, so we just won't do that. The bottom line here is the difference between Proposition 13 and 218 is 218 is to protect Prop 13. They are after Prop 13 every day, all day. They want it gone. Why? So they can raise your taxes easily without going through the voting procedure that Prop 13 calls for. There are going to be other states that are going to copy Prop 13. They're going to have to, because government has one source for their income, and that's you and me and every other consumer on the planet. That's their source of income. I have some other ideas, but that involves some progressive thinking, and I'm not sure they're capable of it at this point.
Well, I have an idea. We have another call. I have an idea. Instead of $1.1 million to, quote, keep the lights on for annual costs, I say we aren't accomplishing anything at any of those meetings. Let's just move it to a one-time only annual meeting, and you'd save $1 million.
Correct.
How about that?
That's a good idea.
All right.
That's why people call CPAs. We'll talk soon.
All right.
Bye for
Thanks
now.
Thanks for your call. And welcome to Sound Off. You're on the air.
Hi. First of all, I would like to welcome Kenny back.
Thank you.
Sounds like you've had an amazing trip. to get your mindset out of the school district for a while. And I would like to say that you two are so refreshing as a team. I look forward to you every Friday, and you always make me smile.
Thank you.
Okay?
Now, thank you. You'll I be have, our favorite caller today.
Thank you. Now, I have a concern as far as the asphalt things going on in my neighborhood. On Monday, I live on Grove Street on the west side of town in a cul-de-sac. They are closing my road Monday and Friday, so I cannot drive down to Pacific. But then Pacific Avenue is closing Tuesday and Thursday. So that means that I won't be able to leave my house for 4 days. I do not have an emergency exit to leave my home if something happens. I have the Fire Road St. James Way right near my house. But I was told I would have to park all the way down on Vine Street. And you guys know where that is from where I live.
Nice.
Yes, and my partner is sight impaired. And if they're working on the road and the sidewalks are so thin there, what do we do? He cannot possibly walk down there.
My understanding is that they have to have some way to allow coming in and out egress. So perhaps they'll be doing half of the street and allow for, you know, maybe you have to drive up onto the curb. But,
well, you know what? I did drive around and Pacific in both directions will be closed Tuesday and Thursday. Hmm. And so I really don't have a way to get out of here. I can't drive down Grove, but if I can, I can't drive down Pacific. I can't hike down in my car. To preface this, I did leave a call with Public Works this afternoon.
I was
waiting
going
to hear
to say,
back.
Yeah, there's
Dita Esperanza.
Dita Esperanza, that she's pretty good about being open to public insight and mm-hmm. comments, and mm-hmm. they usually have some work around here. So I'm glad that you called, and I would say call until you get some kind of response. So is that happening today or next week?
It's starting on Monday.
Okay.
Monday and Wednesday on Grove, Tuesday and Thursday on Pacific. So you can see that I have no way either way to get out of here, you know? And if I had an emergency, would I go up St. James Way? I mean, I don't know what I would do, you know? So you tell me to call her, excuse me, Ms.
Well,
Esperanza?
It is definitely the city, so this is the city who's okay. doing the work and in charge, and she's pretty open as far as I have seen in the city council meetings, etc. And
right.
I okay. think they actually have a citizens incident report kind of function. I don't know how often that's looked at, but I would try contacting her, and then okay. anyone you can get on the line saying, you know, I have a very urgent concern. This is starting on Monday. What do we do? There has to be another
okay.
plan.
Okay. I knew you'd have an answer.
I'd love to have you report back next week.
Right.
I will. Thank you both so much for everything you do.
Thank
All
you.
Right. Thanks for calling
Alrighty.
In.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
And for example, going back, we both appreciate her call. She started it out very well, didn't she? for the previous call in talking about the groundwater basin, and I would say the same thing for floating the Paso Robles school bond for $220 million. It's all great and wonderful when you're spending someone else's money. And especially for this Paso Robles, the Praga Group, as they're calling themselves, because I think even they have a hard time with the last A that is authority. So it's the Paso Robles Area Groundwater Authority. And I keep saying, you do not have the authority to do this. The people who are overlying the basin have a California constitutional right to the use of the water under their property. So the problem comes in when their, you know, somebody's well goes dry. And so the main issue I have with this group is that they're looking to charge and pay for consultants to do managing the basin. And it's not providing one drop of water.
Yeah, it's a jobs program.
It's a jobs program.
Yep.
Consultants that don't live over the basin.
You're making big money. I'm going to become a consultant.
Big money. Maybe. No, this is $144,000 for the attorney.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back in a minute.
At Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
With the big, beautiful bill comes new tax laws, and for business owners, that means more rules, more details, and more chances to miss important savings. This is Billy Gallant with your locally owned and operated H&R Block offices. We stay on top of every tax law change so your business stays compliant and keeps more of what it earns. From deductions and credits to full business tax preparation, our experienced tax professionals handle it all with accuracy and personal service you can trust. Don't let new tax laws cost your business time or money. Call your local H&R Block office today to make an appointment and get your business taxes done right.
Attention kids of all ages. For great family entertainment, head to the Park Cinemas in Paso Robles with the latest releases as well as special features and showings. And if you're looking for a birthday gift or just a way to say thank you, gift certificates are available. For the movie hotline, call 227-2172. That's 227-2172 or online parkcinemas.com. And as always, sit back, relax, and enjoy a movie or two.
All right, now for something completely different. You want to talk about Chuck Norris?
I have a couple really good Chuck Norris quotes. You know, I'm remembering the movie where the cat, somehow the cat's in, you hear a cat meowing, and you have Chuck Norris and Bruce Lee in their combat. What was that movie? Something about the dragon.
I have no idea.
All right. Well, I do appreciate some of the Chuck Norris quotes and things like Chuck Norris didn't really die. He chose to be born in heaven. Things like that. You have a good one?
No, I don't. I liked Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris?
I used to watch the, what's his name, Texas Ranger. But that was really the extent. He did some really bad B movies in the 1980s, which I used to.
I'm not even sure they were B movies.
I think they were B movies.
Pretty
they
about
were at least B.
F.
There was one when H-I-J. They went into Iran. I remember that.
Oh, okay.
There's my segue into Iran.
Okay. So, in that segue, there's some place that's called the Strait of Hormuz. What do you know about that, Kenny?
So, yeah, if you haven't been able to tell, I've wanted to talk about this because this is what I used to do. And I'm getting frustrated watching the news and the naysayers talking about how we're losing in Iran right now. And so I wanted to give a layman's, not like a Darcy Stebbins layman's turn. This is like a dumbed down Kenny Enney version of what's going on. So keep in mind that this operation is 21 days old. You've completely decapitated the command and control structure of a country. You've taken out all of their air defenses. You've taken out all of their air force. You've taken out all of their navy, and most of their army is in hiding. God bless the Israelis, and you know, if they are not God's chosen people, I don't know who are, because every time one of these Iranian leaders pops his head up, he's vaporized.
It was in a tent.
Well, there were, you know, the one yesterday was the propaganda minister who was hiding in Beirut. I think it was in Beirut, but somewhere in Lebanon. He had checked into a hotel under an alias with several other people, and the Israelis still got him in his room. There's no hiding.
Well, the point is that President Trump had, I think there were many, many, many discussions where they were trying to use diplomatic means. And what was ending up happening is that it continued to be where they were stalling. And that,
Which is what they've done for 47 years.
Exactly. And when you think you're negotiating with President Trump, he's not negotiating.
But when you look at Iran, you know, we've hit 8,000 targets. And so people understand those targets were developed over 47 years. Okay, so we have you have what's called a list of targets. And there's tens of thousands of targets on that list of targets. And then, depending on what the leadership, our leadership wants as an effect, you move things off that list of target to a target list. So, you know, if you want to be able to fly your air assets with impunity, you'll say, okay, I want to take out all the air defense and all the command and control. And so you do that, and you have what's called air supremacy, which means nothing can go up in the air without our say-so. This was probably the easy part of the operation, and I will say that the things that still concern me are, one, what is phase two? I think the hope was, and I think it was a good hope, and I still have that hope that the Iranian people are going to step up.
I believe they will.
But when you had 30,000 casualties in a course of about 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, you've probably, taken care of, the strong leadership in that resistance. You have the Peshmerga, the Kurdish forces that are rising up now in the north. So that's a positive sign. You have the other Gulf states that are not going to put up with any of the stuff coming out of Iran. But there has to be a succession plan. You can't just keep playing whack-a-mole. Eventually, you're going to have a government that you can negotiate with. So that's one of my concerns. The second one is the Iranians, I don't think, if they had a nuclear weapon or the ability to strike Europe or the United States with a weapon of mass destruction, which is not just nuclear, it could be chemical or biological as well. And they have a huge amount of both of those weapons as well. I think they would have already used them by this point. So that indicates to me that we have probably taken out a lot of their stockpiles at that point. But the biggest threat, I think, to the United States right now is really, and to Europe, and I'll get back to Europe in a second, but I think the biggest threat right now are the sleeper cells. The border was wide open for 4 years.
And what do you consider as a sleeper cell?
Sleeper cell, there are estimates that ISIS has several thousand operators inside the United States. I'm sure the Iranians have several thousand as well. The Chinese had, I think it was 30, the number was 30,000 military-aged Chinese males came across the border. We have no idea where these people are. And if you look at who is screaming the loudest about this operation, it's the counterterrorism people and the counterintelligence people. And that's because we don't have any idea where we are. And when you have a free society like ours, we're very vulnerable. I had a conversation with some military friends of mine two years ago, with the advent of the drones in the Ukraine-Russia war. Most people have probably driven by Marine Corps Air Station Miramar or NAS Lemoore out here.
Well,
aircraft are nicely lined up on the tarmac, And it was last summer that the Ukrainians drove a tractor trailer into Russia, masqueraded as Russians, and launched a couple of hundred $2,000 drones out of the back of this tractor trailer and took out a third of the strategic bomber force of the Russians. That's the kind of thing that keeps me up at night. You know, I think it was last week where they were talking about this assessment where, you know, there were going to be drones launched from boats off of the coast. Well, if I were doing what's called a red cell, where I'm trying to figure out what the bad guys are going to do, obviously a pressure point for Trump is going to be energy and energy prices. I would be looking at taking out refineries in California or taking out, you know, Diablo power plant.
You mean the ones that are still left?
The ones that are left. I mean, imagine the impact that's going to have on the state of California if, because it's not that hard to, you know, launch high explosives into a refinery. Caller, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to, there's a book called The Invisible Coup that just came out, The Invisible Coup, that should explain all about why this happened, why the all this immigration, why what happened since during the Biden administration. I want to share that with you, so okay. Check it out.
And okay. I actually have that one. Would you like the author?
I have it. I know him. I can't wait to get one. Go ahead.
Who's the author?
Schweitzer.
Yes, Schweitzer.
Oh, yeah, Peter Schweitzer?
Peter, yes.
Okay, that's why I know the name. Yeah, he's written some good books.
And would you say, to summarize the book, that it brings us back to the Article 4, Section 4 invasion? But it's by design.
I can't wait to get a hold of it, Darcy. I can't wait. You're lucky. It's $22 on Amazon, and they have it in stock at the Barnes & Noble in Slo.
All right.
And the library it has ordered it, and they're on third in line to get it. But I can't wait to read this. So you have a good day yourself.
All right. Thanks for the input. And what I have heard about the book, and I think we've all seen it. You know, this was by design. This, when we talk about the sleeper cells, my understanding, I haven't been read in, but at the same time that these sleeper cells, there's military age men coming from China, Iran, let's say, up through to over to Venezuela. And I was even explaining that as the call came in, Venezuela, up through the Darien Gap, Nicaragua, up through Mexico, and into our country, all over the country. So,
well, let me use that. I'm going to segue again. That's the second time I've been able to use that word in this show. I should get bonus points for that. But let's segue into Europe and the concern over Europe. Why is Europe not getting involved in this the way we would like them to? It's because they have been completely undermined. When you look at the United States, you know, 1% of the population is Muslim. And I'm not trying to categorize Muslims as bad, but, you know, 1% of the population of the United States is Muslim. And a very small percentage of that, I think, has been radicalized. But if you look at Europe, about 10% of that population is Muslim. And the Europeans did not try to assimilate those people at all. If you look at France in particular, you know, Paris is, I think last number I read was probably about 60% immigrant population. So the ethnic French aren't there anymore. And that population is radicalized because there's no one that's been trying to assimilate them and say, you are French. Same problem. I read an article just the other day about London, that 2/3 of London is Muslim immigrant. So when you have these, you know, countries that we look as, you know, our native homeland, ethnic native homelands, they're afraid to take action, I think. And it's because they don't know what sleeper cells they have. So anyways, glad to be back. I'm glad I cut off that Article 4, Section 4 thing. We'll get back.
Use discernment,
people.
We'll be back
next Friday.
Thank you for listening. Kenny Enney, Darcia Stebbins. We'll be back to hear the report about the paving and how that's gone. Please attend meetings. There's a school board meeting coming up Tuesday. Be strong. Be strong, Americans.
Bye.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.